systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Kaboom! Hello and welcome to Jam Hole. Today is Wednesday, September 31st, 2009. And my name is Matt.
And my name is Danny.
And thank you guys so much for being with us. This is the Wednesday Night Show, episode number 252.
252!
Shut up, you can't, no.
No, that is so awesome.
Fuck off. Are you making fun of me?
Always.
You can't, we can't make a big deal out of it till at least almost four something.
No, it just kills me that we've already gotten rid of the 250 episode.
We've already ran through that.
I'm like, because now before I was like, oh, it's 230, whatever. It's getting so close.
I know.
Now I'm like, it's 252. It's already over.
And finally, the last guest goes back home, and it's back to the old grind.
Back to the old grind.
I had to wake up in the morning and go to fucking work today. I was like, fuck this, dude.
I had to wake up and call in today.
I know, and I kind of told you to, too. I, like, woke up, and you sounded like
shit. I know,
usually
you're like, you don't do that.
We gotta go.
I must really be sick.
Well, I knew that they were just gonna fucking send you home again, and this time I was in Polson, so there's no way I was gonna be able to, you know, come pick you up and bring you home. I was like, they're gonna fucking send you home because everyone's freaked out of this swine flu
thing.
Oh,
dude, my supervisor, his name's Clint or something like that, but he's super
cool.
But no, he's a nice guy and everything, but like, he came up and he heard how I was and stuff, and he was like, oh god, do you think that's contagious? I'm like, I don't know, probably. And he's like, okay, come with me, but stay behind me. Like,
so basically what happened is we had our 250th show and people flew in, and you know, we already had the swine flu here in the valley. I was doing pretty good about steering clear from people that maybe had it, and then Berger gets off the plane or train or whatever the fuck, however he got here, and he's like coughing here and there, and I hear the cough, right? And Berger's one of the only other, you know, two people that came here that smoked weed. So I don't know if he caught this or not, but he was like, why didn't Matt get sick? Why is Danny sick? Because, you know, me and him, we're smoking weed, we're sharing the pipe and stuff. Every time, I didn't tell him this, I'll tell him now, Berger. Every time you pass the pipe to me, when you weren't looking, I sterilized the part that goes by my mouth. Because I've gotten sick like that before, and if I do get sick, it's because I smoked weed with someone that was sick.
But
if I don't do that,
every time I, like, seriously, every time there's something going around, I will be the one to catch it. You never get sick.
I do if I share a pipe.
And you know what's wonderful about that?
What?
Is you can take care of me when I'm
sick. Shit.
And you're super sweet sometimes, unless you're like, hey, go make me a bowl of hamburger helper.
Doing that,
prick,
actually saved my ass, apparently, because, you know, she's feeling it pretty hard, and I'm not feeling it at all.
Dude.
So I went ahead and replaced...
It was the worst this morning.
I went ahead and replaced all of the pop filters with HEPA filters, so as she talks, it actually filters out the bacteria, and I also got us these cool masks.
So they now look like drywall masks.
We can totally... Can you guys hear me still? We can totally make out, and I'm not going to get sick from it.
Berger says
pretty
he
cool.
was also wiping it off with his shirt. I just thought he had like a wicked
right.
smoker's cough,
and
dude, for a while.
I wipe it off anyway when people pass the pipe to me. Like, it's just habit because some people drool all over a pipe like it's a cock.
Yeah.
Like, where did you learn to smoke weed at, dude? Don't put the whole thing in your mouth. It's not a deep throat contest. We're
I'm
smoking
so glad
weed.
I don't smoke weed anymore because that's just one more thing that'll get me sick, you know?
So I think between him wiping it off with his shirt, me wiping it off with my shirt, and lighting the end of it with the lighter when he wasn't looking, I'm A-okay. So now, as long as I can keep you from getting me sick, I think I'm going to make it. I'm not going to catch any of this.
Do you think us having sex would...
I don't think the
sick?
Swine flu is an STD, so I'm going to say no, but...
But we're making out and stuff while we're fucking.
But that was before.
No, I was still kind of sick.
Well, then I killed it as soon as it got in my body. My body was like, whoa, red alert, get it, fucking H1N word. Another one bites the dust.
You've got some good, what do you call those, immune system thingies?
T-cells? Or no, white blood cells.
Yes, you've got some kick-ass white blood cells.
Ninja white blood cells, man. But yeah, so we can have sex, and when we kiss, just put the mask on, and I'll put mine on.
Can we have sex? Your penis didn't explode.
I know!
We totally did it! It was awesome! He's like, my penis looks like it's back to normal. I'm like, alright, cool. And he's like, let's have sex. I'm like, I don't want you to hate me in the morning.
Like, I'm fine. I'm fine. As long as I drain it every couple days, it's fine.
And then I was like, you know what? If it swells up on you and it hurts, don't fucking come pitching at me saying, oh, it's your fault.
Right.
Because you wanted to have sex.
And it's fine. Everything's cool.
It was great. I got to have some sex.
And go to the doctor and he'll remove it.
Okay in the morning.
He'll remove it now because it's small.
Have you talked to him?
Can I mention something real quick? I was sitting in the work truck today. I went to Polson, and I found this cool fishing access spot.
Yeah, I saw the pic of that on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, where all the birds were. And I'm sitting there, and I had the same Band-Aid on my cock that I did, you know, the day before, yesterday. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if I need to drain it, you know, because for those of you that don't know, I have a cyst, and it burst. And ever since it burst when we were camping, everything's been good. So I'm sitting in the truck, and I, like, pull my pants down around my ankles, kind of like I was when we were out camping,
and
it blew up, and I had to wipe up the mess. So I'm sitting there, and, like, I squeeze it a little bit, and it shoots and goes from the top of the windshield where it hit on down all over the steering wheel and onto part of the floor. And I'm like, just sitting there like, whoa, dude, did that just happen? I'm taking the paper towel, and I'm like, I get it, the rest of the fluid out of my cyst, and then I start wiping the windshield, and it's not like
it
water.
Smears.
It was so disgusting.
That's disgusting,
it was
babe.
So gross.
It just shot
out.
Oh,
fuck. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Gross.
So I need to drain it at least every couple of days. To keep
but it's
it
getting
this
better. It
well, it's
like
not.
It's, better.
It's much smaller now. It's small that's to good. The point where when
it's
I go back,
it's not hurting anymore.
No, not at all. Okay. And when I go back to the doctor, he'll be able to remove it, so everything's all good.
So have you talked to the doctor? And
not since when I told the story for 250 about.
Well, what we should do is probably give the doctor a call, let him know that.
Well,
you know,
I'm gonna go see him here probably next week. So.
Well, you need to make it a point to say, you know, we need to get this taken.
We
care
already.
Of.
You're not listening. I know you're sick.
You're just going to go in there, and he's going to be like, oh.
He's going to be like, good. It's small. Let's remove it. And he'll set up an appointment to have the surgery, and everything will be good.
Okay.
Okay. So, before we move on.
I'll drive you home from that.
What?
And I'll drive you home from that, and then you could drive me home from mine on your birthday.
On my birthday. Happy birthday to me. My girlfriend's all doped up and loopy and just got ass surgery. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Best birthday present ever. So.
I'll be more apt to give head. You watch. I'll be high as a kite. I'll be like, as long as I don't have to move my
stomach
region.
Once the stitches are out.
Wait, are you having surgery before me?
Probably. I don't know, though, honestly.
This is so weird. I've never had surgery. You've never had surgery. We both have to have surgery in, like, the same month.
Guitar Hero Dave says, ice those nuts. Ed Berger says, it is small. Let's just wait some more from your doc. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will be like, no, dude, cut it out now or I'm going to do it.
This is as small as it gets.
Cut it out now or as soon as you open that door, I'm going to yell rape.
Nice.
Now what? So before we get on with the rest of the stuff I brought to the table today, a while ago, I got an email about this thing called, what was it called? The North American Rock Pod Tour.
I think I heard you talking about that a while ago, too.
Right, yeah, and basically what it is, Shazam says you're both messes.
I'm sorry.
But we're hot messes.
We are hot messes.
You gotta give it to
us. You'd be in on this hot mess, you know it.
So, basically, what the North American Rock Pod Tour is pretty much what the name says, that it's a podcast tour. And when I first got this email, I was like, oh, cool. So, this band, the band is called Zovet and the Revolvers from North Carolina. I assumed that they would be, flying out to all these different places that do podcasts and actually being live on the show. But that is not the case. What it is an actual call-in type of podcast tour. So, what we're going to do now, we have Beatnik Press in
this
the chat
kind of
room.
This is a cool concept. I do like it. At first, I was like, that's a little lame. But as I think about it, I'm like, you know what? Getting your shit out on everybody's podcast, that does boost it.
Because, yeah, and especially nowadays with radio dying, and we got a little news story that has to do with local radio dying here. We'll get into.
Song,
but
video killed the radio star, so now
right,
what is it?
It's podcast, like, killed the everything
star.
Else.
Yeah. All of it.
It's killing magazines, like everything. The internet has slayed all.
But this is a super cool idea for a band.
Yeah, for sure. So if you guys are in thejamhole.com/live in the chat, you'll see a dude whose name is Beatnik Press. That's Lee. Feel free to say hi. Direct any questions you might have with him. Zoe was going to be in the chat room, but Ustream is giving her hard times. Kind of like what your friend was having the problem with. He tried like 5 different times to make an account, couldn't get that to work, finally made an account, then tried to log in with it, that didn't work, and then he finally figured it out. So I don't know what
I
the deal is. But
some people just have a hard time on it. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just the names that they're trying to make up that just won't go through. But I don't think it's that hard. I mean, all you do is pick a word, a bunch of numbers, you're good to go.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know why. I don't know. It's like Hotmail. You know, back in the day, everyone used Hotmail, and then it became so hard to get anything from Hotmail. Like, there were no names left. Hello, Zoe. Is this Zoe?
Actually, I hate to do this, but it's actually Zoe.
Oh, Zoe. Well, thank you. I've only seen it typed, so there was no...
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No phonetical spelling. Yeah. I assume...
There's two spellings of Zoe, Z-O-E and Z-O-E-Y, but they both said Zoe.
So how long have you been in this band that you started, I assume? Your name is in front?
Well, that's right. Zoe Vett and the Revolvers, as this lineup, as this formation of the band, has only been together for about a year. But I've been doing this a lot longer than that.
Now,
right on.
Is this band an all-chick band? Because I was looking on the MySpace, it just looks like all chicks. Is it all chicks?
It was originally.
That's super cool.
But now it's 2 and 2.
Ah, okay.
So are the two chicks dating the two dudes?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just...
No, it's super cool that I checked out...
That's band rule number one. No.
No sex? That's or just like, no dating?
No sex among the band members.
Okay.
That's like sex in the workplace, man. It just gets all awkward and weird.
Well, yeah, but it's hard because when you're around the same chick, especially if she's hot and you're, you know, the longer you're around him, the more you're like...
But you guys are pretty hot. I checked out the MySpace. The band sounds great. You guys got some talent and the chick's in it. Not too shabby.
Thanks. You know, it's really hard not to fuck each other. Every practice, we're like, holy shit. But, you know, we have to keep our wits about us and think about the bigger picture.
I bet. Guitar Hero Dave in the chat says the two dudes want to. And I bet that's how it is. The dudes are like, oh, man, I got to fuck this chick. And the chicks are like, if you do it, it's going to get weird. And the guy's like, I don't care. I need to fuck.
What's that you have groupies for?
No,
right?
Actually, I think it's the other way around. But, you know, the guys, no. I think you have it backwards.
That's awesome.
Sometimes chicks just want to fuck more than dudes, and that's the truth.
Hear that, dudes?
Sometimes chicks just want to fuck.
Yeah. That's right. Hear that, dudes? Sometimes chicks just want to fuck.
Just want to fuck.
Girls sometimes have a sex drive, but, you know, no means no is all I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or sometimes no means later, dude.
Yeah, later, dude. Not now because your friend's creeping me out.
Yeah, I'm sitting here actually with Daisy from Screaming Red. And they're from Texas. And she just said no means yes. So I don't know. I think it depends.
No means I'm not fucked up enough yet.
Right. Buy me some more shots. We'll be good to go.
So with this whole tour thing, are you guys actually... You're going to be playing different towns, right? It's just the interview parts are going to be through the phone line, or how's that work?
It's actually just a podcast tour. So instead of touring physically, we're touring through podcast means.
And
it's just that simple.
Dude, so that is such super cool idea. It's a lot cheaper, too.
And we have 6 stops. We start off with Polly the podcaster on digivegas.com, and then we went to the Bull Pit out in Hollywood, and then you guys, our third stop.
Oh, cool.
And then we're going to Robot 40 out of Cleveland, earcandynewyork.com, and then we're ending off at Zaldor's World.
Nice. We actually were in New York and did a show with those guys. They're a kick in the pants. Yeah. Love Joe and Adam.
Oh,
there.
Joe Coccozello is my fave, man. Love that guy.
So when does the whole playing the music, like, do you just play it over the Skype line? I guess that's the part of it I don't understand is...
You're the podcaster, man. I have no idea.
So
I just sit here and I talk and I fucking say shit and you ask me questions and I answer you and then you play the songs. I don't know how you do it.
You're the lead singer, right?
Yes, and the guitarist.
You have a wicked, cool voice. I like your voice, dude. Super cool.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. I think what, at the end of the show, you want to plug one of their songs at the end like we do with...
Yeah, definitely. We can do that. We don't usually, like other podcasts will play music during the show. We're not really a music podcast per se. But yeah, we'll definitely throw a track in. And the link's in the show notes on thejamhole.com afterwards. But yeah, so how long is it's just those six stops? Or are you guys still recruiting people to come on their shows or...
So far, the pod tour is defined as those six stops. I may do some, you know, podcasts after that.
Right.
But
are you guys?
These are the six stops in the official podcast.
Right. Are you guys going to go on like a tour to actually take your music to these towns or anything like that?
Absolutely, would love to.
Just got to get the funds up.
Yeah, because I would think depending on the feedback that they get from the podcasts, you know, depending on what areas are like, damn, you know, these guys are awesome. That I would
see, the thing is, yeah, it takes money to do these things. People don't think about it. Like, they're out of the band's tour. But, like, it takes money to get there. Gas prices are ridiculous.
Shit, yeah.
You know, they don't make a band van to tour your equipment that has, like, energy-efficient fuel in it. So you kind of have to get up money. You have to make money doing this.
Yeah.
Like, we all have jobs. We have to pay our mortgages. We have to pay our rent. We have to, like, feed ourselves and shit, so like, you know, people don't fucking fork out the money anymore. We can't fucking come, you know what I'm saying? That's just how it goes.
Do you think the internet seems like it's helping that a little bit, but at first everyone was like, oh, quit downloading music, it's hindering what the bands make. And I always thought the bands made money out on tour and stuff, but I guess you need that startup money initially to be able to go out on tour.
Right, absolutely. I mean, we have to have the money to be able to go out on tour. I mean, if we don't have the money, I mean, we can't. I don't make enough money personally to fund the tour. We have to have people interested, and we have to have sponsors, and we have to have, you know, people that are willing to pay the ticket prices to bring us out there. We're more than happy. I mean, I'm not trying to be rich. I'm just trying to pay my bills. That's
exactly.
All I'm gonna do.
Yeah, so that's all we're trying to do.
I was listening to some of your music and stuff today. What genre would you put you guys under? Because like I was thinking, like, you know, rock kind of slash hard punk. I couldn't exactly figure it out. Like, what genre do you guys consider it to be?
I don't like a box. I don't like to be fit into a box. I don't fit into any box perfectly. Nobody does.
Nice.
And if anybody does, they're faking it.
Right, but you know who has a box is iTunes. So if our fans were to go on iTunes and look for your music, what would the genre be that they would search? Or is it just
It seemed like
everything?
A good,
rock. Rock, okay.
Yeah, it seemed like a good rock slash kind of like that awesome, I don't know, like I used to be in a chick punk band in Florida, and that's kind of what her voice reminds me of. The underground chick punk band,
right.
And then with the metal rock sounds and stuff. And so, like, it kind of puts that on. I don't know. I like that. So
you'd be surprised, cool. Like, actually where my actual influences come from. And it comes out sounding like it does. I don't really know why, but it does come out sounding like it does. I had some press here locally in Charlotte say that we sounded like if Joan Jett and Motorhead had a baby. And I really... I hate that comparison only because, like, I totally respect Joan Jett as a musician and as a career, but I get it every fucking day. It's not new to me.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's kind of like, okay, but I'm not her. Like, I grew up on 80s hair metal, like,
nice.
and 70s glitter rock and punk, and, like, I only knew who she was after I was, like, driving age. So I was already doing this before I knew who she was.
Nice.
So the fact to be compared to her is just kind of a coincidence, you know? But she's really awesome, and it kind of sucks that there aren't many more tough-ass chick rockers
in the fucking field than she is.
And that's who I get compared to, because that's the only people fucking know. They don't think about other people that are out there. Like, there's, like, Bikini Kill. There's The Need. Most people don't remember them.
Hmm.
There's fucking... Sleater-Kinney's not really so much, like, tough chicks, but they're chick rock, whatever. There's The Distillers. There's fucking... what is the Distillers' new band? Spinneret. There's Juliet and the Licks. Like, people don't fucking think of Joan Jett anymore.
I think what it is
that's all they think of is Joan Jett. They don't think about anybody else that's been there since her.
It's just that that's maybe the most popular one. That's all they've heard. So that's all they have to compare it to. In the same vein, I write hip-hop. So instantly, any person that's like, oh, you're white and you write hip-hop, instantly you're compared to, like, Idea and Abilities, Atmosphere, Sweatshop. There's, like, the same three names that keep coming up. It's like, well, it's kind of different, but that's all they know. So I can see
that. And it's
that.
Like, it's not that you don't respect those people. It's just that it gets old after a while.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, no, dude, I'm just me. Yeah.
And
it's kind of the same deal, you know?
Yeah, in the same.
I get it. You know, it comes to the point now, like, when somebody screams Joan Jett in the audience, we've actually come up with, we actually learned a Lita Ford cover. So that when somebody screams Joan Jett, we play Lita Ford.
That's brilliant. Nice. Brilliant. And I think podcasters even get it. They're always, as soon as you tell someone about the talk show, they're like, oh, like Howard Stern. Like, instantly, that's what they compare it to, because that's all they know.
Right.
You know, he was the first in that vein of, you know, doing a talk show that's maybe kind of edgy or whatever. And they don't understand, because that's all, you know, that's all they know to compare it to. So,
right, exactly.
Well, I got some bio here. Zovette and the Revolvers. When they said sex, drugs, and rock and roll, they left out one thing. What is that one thing?
Well, you said her name wrong again. So
Zoe.
Sorry. Danny.
Yeah,
I need
problem,
a Y
dude.
In there. Change it with a Y. Zoe Vett and the
Revolvers.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to start putting it with a Y.
She
should
just do it with the IE. That'd
well,
be kind of cool.
Just for type. It just for a type thing. That's how I see it. It's like Zoe, but, you know,
it's
if
phonetic.
I would have.
Yeah, I hear you.
If I would have heard.
Hooked on Phonics.
Yeah, exactly. It worked for us.
It's a cool name, though. I like it. It definitely fits you.
Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
Fuck yeah. If I would have heard Lee say it's Zoe and the Revolvers, then that would have been in my head. But since I saw it tight, but Zoe Vett and the Revolvers. Get it right. The band was not created.
Right.
But rather born, it has morphed into its current state through the band's mutual love of good hard rock and roll, distortion, low-end bass, thundering drums, and gang vocals reminiscent of 70s glitter rock or Joan Jett.
Yeah.
ZVR demand respect with their... I was kidding about the Joan Jett. Right. ZVR demand respect with their unrelenting annex, raunchy riffs, and catchy choruses. It takes guts to proclaim that trash is the new glamour. I could see that. Trash is the new glamour.
Trash is the new glamour. Isn't that one of the songs you guys have on the MySpace
right
now?
Yes, it is.
I was listening to that earlier. It's pretty sweet. I like that.
Nice. It's like whenever when all the kids were trying to act black and ghetto. It's like that was the new cool thing. Now it's like everyone wants to live in a trailer park and drink Pabst
and
beat
and
their
the
wives.
Dirty and the just trailer trash looking almost. That,
fuck yeah.
You know,
it makes my dick get hard. I love that.
I've always
that
been playing
wife,
that awesome underground punk look forever. And
that
it
wife
never
beater look.
Cool until now.
Fuck yeah.
It was great.
You know what's funny? Like I love hearing other people's takes on our shit. Like actually what I wrote Trash is a New Glamour about, there was that whole Party Monster craze. Remember that movie?
Yep.
And everybody was like, oh my god, it's so glamorous to like snort cocaine,
to
OK, and like all this shit. And like post those pictures on MySpace and Facebook and things like that. And like these people thought they were being glamorous. And to me, they were pathetic. And that's what I wrote it about.
Yep.
I think it's actually an anti-drug song.
That's funny. My brother's, he's a DJ, plays like drum and bass and stuff. And his big problem is that all these parties he goes to, everyone's just fucked up on pills. And the only time they can have a good time is when they're totally just blown off their fucking minds. And he's, you know, sick of it because it's hard to get venues because everyone's like, oh, you play this, it's going to be a bunch of drugs and shit. It just gets associated with it.
It's pretty fucked up. Like, we get a lot of high security at our shows. Like, I think it's pretty ridiculous. I'm like, you know what? I might look the way I look, but, you know, we lobby for things like, actually one of my big causes that I'm all about is, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Spirit Bear.
No,
but like there's this kid out of Vancouver, Canada. It was more than 10 years ago, but like he's still doing it to this day. His name is Simon Jackson. And like he lobbied to save like the largest plot of land, I believe, that was ever saved from logging in the whole like continent. And a 13-year-old kid did it, and he saved the Spirit Bear, which is like actually a it's like an offshoot of the American, is it the black or the brown bear? I can't remember.
Right, the
actually
black bear.
I hate to say this now because I've been drinking. But it's like one out of every 10 of these Kermode bears are born white. And the Native Americans up there called it the Spirit Bear And this kid saved it. Like, I am all about kind of shit like that. I love hiking. I love camping. I love anything natural. I rescue dogs. Like, whatever. Like, fuck drugs. You don't have to have drugs. You know what I mean? Like,
they're fun once in a while, but you don't have to have them.
Yeah, that's what bugs me. It's the people that are like, well, I'm not going to have a good time unless I'm fucked up. It's like, well, then go OD and be done with it.
Sometimes it's fun, sure, but like when it's to the point where you have to be on them to enjoy your life, then that's no good.
Then your life sucks.
No.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like, we've lost a lot of good people in rock and roll because of drugs. Like, we lost Janis Joplin. We lost fucking... even Mark Bolan, who's like one of my favorites of all time, like he fucking wrapped his car around a tree.
Yep.
Like, I mean, this is all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Like, we lost people way too early, and you want to glorify their lives because they're dead. Like, that's your problem.
Yeah,
but,
and
you know, you don't have to have drugs to. I enjoy drinking. I won't lie, but I don't fucking touch drugs, and I don't really associate with it. I think it's pathetic when you have to. When you have to project that in order to maintain that rock star lifestyle, that's pretty pathetic.
What about weed? What's your stance on the whole weed thing?
Weed is natural. Anything that's natural that grows out of the earth, I don't really think you ought to be stopped from. I don't honestly personally smoke it because it just makes me sleepy, man, to be honest with you.
High five
yeah, you're
you,
like
dude.
Her. She'd rather drink than smoke. I'd rather smoke than drink.
Yeah,
so,
I'm a drinker. I don't really... I haven't been drinking near as much as I used to, but I would much rather drink than smoke pot. I was a big pothead in high school.
Yeah, I'm pretty mellow as it is. I don't need to smoke pot. Like, I just go to sleep. I just really stupid and go to sleep. Like, my memory gets worse than it is.
From one drinker to another, I mean, like, copping a buzz drinking and, you know, having a good time is one thing, but then when people take it to the extremes and they have to drink all the time... Or people
or when the pothead has to sit on the couch all day and smoke for 4 hours at a time. Like,
and
that's fucked up too.
They're like, we should legalize it, and everyone's like, yeah, and then that's it. They just sit on the couch and don't, you know. But it's
they don't take action.
Yeah, exactly. They're too lazy, or they just don't give a shit anymore.
But you know, honestly though, I don't smoke pot either, but you know, it is natural and it shouldn't be illegal because no one's ever OD'd off of it. It's nothing seriously that bad. And
nobody's ever killed anybody on pot, like, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. On our site, we have a section called fatality rates, and what it is things that have killed more people than weed, but the things that have killed the people are legal, but weed is still not. And we have a huge list, like, stupid shit, like, an iPod has killed people because, you know, someone saw a kid wear an iPod, killed the kid, stole his iPod. There you go.
Yeah.
Having an iPod killed more people than weed, but it's still illegal.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What do you think about the whole... I don't know who originally said it, but I heard it most lately on the Tool album where they're saying everything musically that was ever created was created on drugs. Like, do you... I know there's a lot of artists that don't do drugs and create beautiful works, but there's that whole... I don't know what... A whole vision of people that are just... You have to get fucked up to be creative. Like, it gives it a bad name.
I don't think that's true at all. Like, take Kiss, for example. Gene Simmons has never touched alcohol or drugs in his entire life. He's a fucking genius.
Yep.
That fucking guy has all the respect I have in my body.
But
like,
then you look
I'm
at
big
bands.
Kiss fan.
Then you look at bands like Pink Floyd, and it's like all the great shit they ever created. They were totally fucked up on drugs, and the shit they made when they were sober is awful.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's a matter of perspective. Honestly, I'm not a Pink Floyd fan.
Right.
That shit, that drug induced like trance music, it just doesn't appeal to me at all.
Yeah.
Like, I like fucking cock rock. I like shit that gets you going, that makes you drive a little bit faster than you probably should. Like, I like that kind of shit. Like, some of it is drug induced. It sucks. Like, most artists are tortured. And it sucks. Like, you can be tortured and not have to do drugs.
Yep.
I'm living for that.
Just date a girl, let her rip your heart out, and then write music.
That works.
Yeah, or just, you know, walk out in public and try to trust anybody. Like, you don't have to do drugs, though, to fucking get over
that.
Write it out. Like, get it out of your system.
No shit.
Send that shit out. Like,
that's
don't keep it inside you. Fucking send it out. Yeah.
So, what did you think when Marilyn Manson went glam rock? Were you like, yeah, that's what he should do? Or were you like, holy Christ?
I love Marilyn Manson, and I love glam rock.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you think
of
his... What do you think
of
his...
You know, I never got to see, like... Okay, I'm younger than than the generation that I actually follow musically.
Right.
And I think that's true with a lot of people. I have like a huge age gap in my family, and my sisters and my older brother, like they're all older. They're like way, way older than me. They loved Bowie in the 70s, like Ziggy Stardust Bowie. And I never got to see that. That was fucking epic. And I wish, I have a poster in my living room of Ziggy Stardust, and I have one of Iggy Pop. Like, that's just my era, you know? It's like, I wasn't there, but I wish I was.
Do you think...
Well, when Marilyn Manson went to tour, I was like, I gotta go see him because I miss Ziggy Stardust. I compare Manson's career to that of David Bowie as Ziggy Stardust.
I could see that. Yeah, definitely. Do you think... What was I going to say? I totally just forgot. What tour did you see of his? I saw the Antichrist Superstar tour, and that was the last...
God, I would have killed the fucking thing
I got
that
to
concert.
See, and that was
Shit.
Pretty amazing. But.
No, I wish I could tell you. I don't really know. I was in Myrtle Beach, and it was like maybe about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. So it was probably the one right after that.
Yeah.
Or five. Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah, he was on a podium. He had a podium that was really tall, and he was on stilts.
Yep,
yeah.
That was
I know
one.
That was sick for that
for
show.
Sure. So do you think the whole gap has to do with we kind of grow up when we're younger and our brains are still forming, listening to what our parents listen to? So we have a predisposition to automatically liking that when we're old enough to make our own decisions.
Not necessarily, because my parents are way, 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 way older. And I mean, I'll say, like, I'm not really afraid of this, but, like, my mom grew up in the 50s, right? And, like, I think that's fascinating. I'm fascinated by, like, the soda shops and the doo-wop music and the fucking pompadours and the leather jackets and James Dean and shit. But, like, I maybe grew up with an appreciation of it later, but when I was a kid, I didn't really care about it. I cared more about what my sisters and brothers listened to.
Because
I looked up to them.
I think, yeah, that has a difference, too, depending on who in your family you end up looking up to, that you would maybe...
I think that has a lot of difference, too, but also, you know, I actually I ran away from home when I was 16. This is not, like, new news or anything, but when I did, I went to live with some older people that were Wiccans, and they also were in this glam rock band that I ended up being in called Wolfgang. It was an all-girl glam band. We thought we were the female New York Dolls in 1993 or 4. And that kind of set my musical preferences right there. I already liked Kiss, but I came from the child, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. I came from like Rat and Twisted Sister and shit like that. And I liked Kiss. But this kind of set me back towards like Mark Bolan and T-Rex and Iggy Pop and The Sweet and New York Dolls and shit like that. Like, that's where I start drooling at the corners of my mouth, like when I think about that era.
Nice. So yeah. Do you find that has a lot of influence in the music you're making now?
In a weird way, it does. Like, you can't, like, if you know that music, you can hear it. You can hear the influences, like our background vocals. It just kind of happened that way, but the reason they speak to me is because it reminds me of the gang background vocals from the 70s, like Gary Glitter and Mark. You know, some of Bowie stuff, more like The Sweet and Slade and shit like that. It reminds me more of that. And like early Queen. There's that. And also we actually cover a T-Rex song, which is funny because the original song is bongos and acoustic guitar. But we somehow fuck it up and make it sound like Black Sabbath did it.
Nice.
It's a song called Planet. Yeah. It's a song called Planet Queen, and it's off of the Electric Warrior album that T-Rex did. It's like one of the best rock albums of all times. And
nice.
Somehow, I don't know, I was like, I think I was playing a song that my drummer, he's a T-Rex fan also, but he'd never heard Planet Queen before. I said, well, this is where I got the name The Revolvers. There's a lyric in there that goes, she used my head like a revolver, and it was stuck in my head the day we came up with the band name, and that's what happened. And he was like, I don't think I've heard that song, so I played it for him while my guitar was plugged in with the like heavy distortion and a distortion pedal on top of that. And it just sounded so awesome. He started playing drums to it. So we're trying to get the rights to re-record it. But we play it live. And it's... I think Mark Bolan would actually applaud us, I hope.
Or anyway, sue you. Either or.
Either right? or.
I bet Coldplay thought Joe Satriani would applaud them. But no, he sued them.
You know. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Mark Bolan's dead, so he can't sue us.
Oh,
but,
nice.
You know, perhaps we should have a Ouija board, you know, seance to ask him permission.
Hey, if God's stuff holds up in court, I would just roll in and be like, the Ouija board said yes, you have to believe me.
Yeah, we have it on film, man. We're going to film it. I think he's going to say things like, you know, wear a feather boa or perhaps some more glitter would be
nice.
Good. Yeah.
Nice. That's That'd be awesome.
I think he would say that. Maybe you should write beneath Stonehenge, out in the stars. Yeah, I think he would say that.
I think so. I could definitely see that. So you guys have an album people can get now, or you're working on one? Is it out?
We have. We are actually pioneers, and actually, I have a friend who's Lumbee Indian, and he said, "You know, a pioneer by the arrows in their back." So I guess we're kind of doing trial and error with this. But we're all fully digital right now. We have an EP out. It's called Trash is the New Glamour. It's got 3 songs, a video, liner notes, and photos. And it's available if you go to max3.com/ZVR. It stands for Zoe Vent and the Revolvers. If you go there, you can download for $3.98 all those things I talked about.
Nice.
That's cheaper than you can go on iTunes and download 3 songs for.
Right.
So you get 3 songs and a full resolution video.
So what was that site again?
I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's max3.com/Z as in Zoe, V as in Zoe
Vet.
And R as in Revolvers. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
But yeah,
cool.
I'll put a link to all this stuff in the show notes, and you guys will be able to check that out and get to it from there.
Because I kind of was like,
yeah, our next album that's coming out, we already have a concept for it. We're gonna record a full length album, and it's gonna be called Lock and Load. And there'll be some more promo about that shit later. So.
Right on. So are you guys going to... I know a couple bands, I know a couple people that are in, they started making albums, giving those away, and then doing the whole tour thing. Are you going to give the album away, or is it going to be like a CD Baby or iTunes type of thing?
We have the EP, and we have it on CD, and we give it away at shows. After this, we have to pay for our studio time, so we will unfortunately have to sell the full-length album.
Right.
You have to understand, we have to pay the bills that we accrue.
Oh yeah,
being a rock.
You gotta just start.
Most
your
people
own.
Don't think about that. They're like, why can't you just give us our music? Well, shit's expensive. The shit's like $60 an hour in the studio.
Oh yeah, it's like, you know, it's like doing this show. Yeah. We do the show free 3 days a week, but what people don't understand when we're like, go to thejamhole.com/donate, is that all the equipment we have in here is well over like $3,000, and they're like, do it from your house, there's no money involved. It's like, well, I didn't have all the equipment to make it sound this clear and to do all this stuff, so they don't get that it's money in if you want to get any kind of return out of it.
Exactly. People don't think about it. They're just like, give me shit, because we're Americans and we are entitled to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no way.
And it takes a lot more shit to record a full-on band than it does us. Like, I can record a hip-hop album in here, no problem, but it's just my voice and some beats, you know, to mic a drum set, to mic the different guitars and the different vocals and shit. Like, that takes a lot of fucking equipment.
It sure does. It takes equipment. Like, each mic that we have in the studio probably costs in excess of $100.
Yeah,
just
for sure.
Because we don't want it to sound like a piece of shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, we have to make it quality for our listeners.
We live in the digital world. We don't use tapes anymore and shit. So, you know, you got to have the equipment. So at the end of the show tonight, we're going to play a track. Do you have a preference on track?
It is Dealer's Choice.
You
honest?
Okay. Well, I got a few of them Lee sent to me, so we'll throw that at the end of the episode for the podcast listeners. And when we end the show, I'll play it for everyone listening live. But anything else you want to say before we let you go and move on with the show?
Yeah, actually, can I just shout out to our sponsors real
please,
quick?
Oh, please.
That'd be cool.
We've
already
shouted
out to the Spirit Bear. And you can actually check out, if you're interested in the Spirit Bear I talked about, you can actually check it out if you go to spiritbearyouth.org. You can check it out, and like, they're not asking for money or anything, they just want your support, so that's why we support that shit. That's awesome.
Nice. Well, yeah, I'll definitely throw links to all that stuff in the show notes so people can find it easier.
Heck yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Right on.
And our sponsors here are we got John Sinclair is like our biggest sponsor. He's fucking awesome. Like, Google him, he's a cool dude. Beatnikpress.com is obviously our they do our merch, and BeatnikPressDigital.com is our label.
Right.
Capacity Productions, FUCR.info, Provine Studios, and Lights Out Photography.
Nice. Do we have any sponsors?
No.
Just the weed and the sparks?
Yeah. I think awesome. Rockstar should start sponsoring us soon.
And my alarm clock. Fantastic.
Right. Right.
Right on. Well, thank you very much, Zoe. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Fuck. I don't know.
There you go.
It's nice to be able to cuss. I don't get to cuss sometimes on podcasts.
Fuck
it pisses
yeah.
me off.
Hey,
so.
Oh, whatever, dude.
Get it all out right now. Just do it. Just fuck shit,
oh,
piss,
I
cut,
do
talk.
Want to talk about something.
Oh, please.
I just remembered.
Please.
What the fuck were you draining on your penis earlier? What the fuck was that?
It's called,
some of it.
It's called a sebaceous cyst, and I've had it since I was like 12.
Oh, I know those. Yes.
I
holy
know those.
Shit.
Do you have
that's
them
crazy.
Too? Because Danny has one
no.
in her ovary that's about the size of a 3-month-old dead fetus.
Yeah.
No, that's fucking awesome. It's like a fucking conjoined twin.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
I don't have any. I don't have any, but I used like my when I make money, I groom dogs, and sometimes they have them, and like. They're fucking crazy.
Did you ever cut them open and pop them on your dogs?
I pop them. I do pop them. I'm sick like that.
Nice.
I fucking pop them.
I'm
sometimes.
A picker.
It's like a major zit. It's like a disgusting zit.
A big.
And it's so gross and say ew the whole time, but like, yeah, it's gross.
I wish my cyst was on the outside because I just pop it all the time. But yeah, no, it's the size of an orange now. They're going to pull it out through my belly button on his birthday, which happens to be the 22nd of next month.
Yeah, happy birthday to me.
That's crazy. I totally pop a belly button sebaceous cyst, but not a penis sebaceous cyst.
Yeah,
so sorry.
I've tried to cut it off myself a couple times.
He picks the shit out of it all the time.
Yeah. I'm a picker.
And that's why we've had sex.
Are you gonna? Yeah, I'm a picker
month.
Too. Are you going to do it on cam?
If the doc will let me.
I know. I will be getting the video for my surgery, and I'm going to edit the shit out of it and make it awesome.
And your colonoscopy.
Hell yeah. You need to fucking email a bitch and let me know, because that's sick shit. I will totally like
you
freak out the
that?
Whole time.
I love that sick, disgusting
I
want to
see it.
Stuff.
It's great. So what I was thinking of doing, next time I go in to see the doctor, next time he's like, you know, drop your pants and come over here, right when he's like down there looking, I'm just going to squeeze it a little bit, just to fuck with him.
A little bit
on his face, be like, that's what you get, doc. Ah, ha, ha. I'm gonna charge you for that. I know that's disgusting,
but yeah, I'll definitely.
You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
Fucking A,
right on.
Thanks. You guys seem pretty damn good yourselves.
Hell yeah, we'll meet up and jerk each other off sometime. It'll be great. Well,
you
good
jerk, my favorite.
Fuck yeah. Well,
do
good luck.
Yeah, get rid of that cyst first.
Oh, definitely.
This month, we will be getting rid of both of our cysts.
Yeah, we think we met
awesome.
Because
okay,
of...
Okay, we'll totally kosher then.
Yeah, for sure. We think we met because of our cysts. I think they called out to each
pretty
other,
much.
So...
We're going to get rid of them, and we're going to hate each other.
I know. I'll be like, I don't even like you anymore.
I don't even know you.
Who are
away
you?
Away from me.
They were like conjoined twins. They were like somehow propelled to each other, or like, you know, attracted somehow. But like once they're gone, like, will you really have it anymore?
I don't know. We'll
question
see.
Question you should ask.
We'll have the show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what's the next podcast? What's the next stop on your tour, your pod tour?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Robot 40 out of Cleveland.
Okay, cool. So everyone, if they want to hear more from you, they can check out the Robot 40 show. And I'll put a link to the rest of the shows that you guys will be on and whatnot, so people can find it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks,
Zoe. Very cool.
Zoe.
Very cool.
It's been a blast, and good luck with making the album and getting paid and going on tour and shit.
Very much appreciative. Good luck with you guys and your show.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks a bunch.
Stop in Missoula, Montana when you're actually on the road, and we'll come out and see you.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. You'll be the first to know.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, have a good night, Zoe.
Later, dude.
All right, you too. All right, later.
Fantastic. Zoe. Zoe.
Zoe?
Zoe. It's Zoe, you
Zoe.
Stupid fuck. Zoe Vett and the Revolvers, everyone. Fantastic.
She seems pretty fucking cool. I like her.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hopefully, she'll, you know, keep in touch with us and, well, you know, email us and shit when shit's going down, because I'd like to go see him.
Yeah, I can definitely see them just rocking the fuck out
fucking
on,
A, dude. I
on
think it'd
stage.
Be pretty
cool. So, all right. Well,
definitely have to give her a copy of my awesome cystic video. She
oh,
seems
please.
Like the type that would love it.
Let a bitch know.
Let
all
fucking
right.
holler at a bitch.
You're
going to
wish you didn't say that, but
it's cool.
So, yeah, that was fun. And like I said, we'll put all the links to all the pertinent info in the show notes for tonight's episode. So, moving on. I got an interesting email today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Travelex?
No.
Well, I got an email sent to blank, actually. That's, you know, it's a good email when you look at the who it's sent to and it's blank. spam, perhaps. So in the subject line, it says Travelex money transfer. And I'm like, huh. Is this some Nigerian, young Nigerian buck wondering, inquiring as to my bank account info? But I think this is going to be the latest scam on the internet that people are going to start falling for because people are complete retards. So, as a public service that the Jam Hole loves to provide free of charge, we're going to talk about this. Dear client, your payment information, I'm getting paid. Did you know that?
Other than your job?
Yeah, from Travelex, the money transfer.
What are you doing for them?
Dear client, we hereby notify you that Travelex Worldwide Money Transfer is processing the transfer of a Travelex money card containing the sum of $1,500,000 United States dollar. Woo! I'm rich, bitch!
Damn.
Fuck all y'all! I'm out!
You can help
out.
Me with my
I quit.
Shit.
I quit my job! Fuck y'all, I'm rich! So, I like how it's $1,500,000 United States dollar due to be paid to you. That's me. They're paying me. Finally. We write to request that you furnish us with confirmation that you are the bona fide beneficiary of the award made by the International Gemological Institute alongside other donors who generously donated over $100 million to groups and some outstanding individuals. Me personally, I'm an outstanding individual. So,
most days.
Have you ever heard of the International Gemological Institute?
No.
Me neither.
Not ever.
Holy shit. That's amazing. Upon receipt of your confirmation completion of our verification procedures, because, you know, they got to make sure it's me, the person they sent the email to, Mr. Blank at blank dot blank, you know, that's me. We shall be in the position to invite you to claim the award. Travelex Worldwide Money Transfer. And every time they say Travelex Worldwide Money Transfer, it's in bold print, which is weird. Travelex Worldwide Money Transfer will only release the fund to you once these administrative formalities have been completed. You are consequently called upon to confirm your beneficiary status by sending us the information below. Your full names, address, telephone, fax, if any, because, you know, some people don't fax. An MTC number. Transfer code number. My AKA, my bank account information.
Right.
I sent them that, and I should be getting my, what was it, 1,500,000 United States dollar pretty soon.
I don't know how many times a day I get the phone call. Hi, I got an email from Bank of America.
No, you didn't.
No, you did not.
You got an email from Bank of America, spelled with an I, not an A.
No. Everything's spelled correctly.
Really?
The logo's on there, everything.
Hey, but they're getting good.
No, they're getting really good.
Tricky.
But the address is totally fishy. Like, it's totally effed up. And then I'm like, okay, well, what does it say? They're like, okay, well, it says something about my account and that I need to just verify a few things with Bank of America to make sure everything's okay. And I'm like, all right, what does it say after that? She's like, well, or they're always like, well, it goes to a link. I have to click on the link.
Of course.
And I'm like, if you ever have to click on a link for B of A, do not click on it. And then when they click on the link, it comes up with a big-ass thing. You know, their account number, their whatever number, this number, what's your filer's middle name, and blah, blah, blah.
It's a link that you click to that says, it loads a page that says, you just got jacked, fool.
Pretty much. And what's really cool, though, is a lot of people just call to say, you know, hey, I just got this email. I just want to, you know, it was a lot of questions. I didn't think I should answer these questions, so I wanted to call you guys and make sure everything was okay. And I always have to tell them, like, thank you so much for calling us and not clicking on that crap, because it's a phishing website. All they want is your account information so they can rob your shit. So,
oh, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But people don't know.
Really, well, like there's
you just
a lot of older people and stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I get, like, 83-year-olds that are doing online banking, okay?
Yeah.
They don't know this shit.
My grandchildren just bought me a computer. Oh, first mistake.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, there's a lot of older people and stuff that are, you know, doing this and whatever, and they're just worried about it, so they call first, and that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then I can give you the address to send it to, so that way we can, you know, get down on it and fucking block the dude who's sending it out.
Right.
Which we have to go through a lot.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
What is it? abuse@bankofamerica.com or something like that if you get fishy shit. So.
You are requested to furnish the above information within 5 working days using our email address linked below, and failure by you to so act shall lead to suspension of the transaction and funds returned to our escrow account for charity donations. Like, fuck, dude. You know, people read that might not know, and they're like, shit, I got 5 days to do this, or I'm not going to get my money. Dude, there's no money. I guess maybe because I'm in the frame of mind I am, I find it so hard to believe that people fall for this. But like you said, put it in
some
a 70-year-old,
don't know.
Someone that didn't grow up with computers, someone who's an older, you know, generation, they don't know. So they're like, someone wants to give me $100 million? Fuck yeah, here's my bank account. Here's my mom's bank account.
Yeah.
Here's my kids' bank account. Here's the college funds. Here's my IRAs. I don't give a shit. Pay me, sucka. And then all their shit's gone. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And that sucks, man. So I think this will be the next one, because this looks, if I didn't know better, I'd say there was a company called TravelX Money Transfer, and there probably is. And people get this, and they're like, fuck yeah, I want $1,500,000 United States dollar. Shit yeah. Therefore, it is in your interest to contact us immediately for information regarding your funds. Sincerely, Thomas Lowerden, Director of Operations, Benelou, TravelX Money Transfer. And then the email address is travelxinfo10@aol.com. And then, to make it look even more professional, at the bottom it says, this communication is for use by the intended recipient and contains information that may be privileged, confidential, or copyright under applicable law. If you are not the intended recipient, you are hereby formally notified that any use, copying, or distribution of this email in whole or in part is strictly prohibited. Whoa. Like, whoa, that's some real shit. Here's my info. Derb. So, I just thought that was fun. I should be getting a lot of money pretty soon.
Oh my god.
Really awesome. So, moving on then. The smoking ban in Montana is happening
tomorrow.
What the fuck are you people
going to...
Can I go
smoke in a bar tomorrow, or is that a no?
No. Tonight is it. No casinos.
Bar?
No bars. No more smoking. And you know what we've noticed, you and me and everyone that was here, you know, that saw the town from out of state, look at all these weird construction decks happening on the outside of these bars.
Yep.
They know. Even though we want no one smoking inside, we still want people that smoke to frequent our places, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you don't cater to those people, they will just buy their liquor and go home? Or what do? You still need to gamble, obviously. And that's what most people do, and that's what I don't get. Fuck the bars, that's fine. People go outside and smoke. People's favorite thing to do while they're gambling, though, drinking and smoking. What are you going to do? You can't take the gambling machines outside with you.
People are just going to end up eating more, like, you know, that snack shit that they have in there. They're just going to sit there and pile that on because
they
need
you,
something to do with their hands. That's what it is.
And it's the nicotine thing, too, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
So do you think more people start chewing and then they'll be like, whoa, you guys are spitting all over the floor in here. Now we have to ban chewing in our place, you know?
I hope not. That'd be ridiculous.
Well, if people are spitting their chew all over,
that's
disgusting.
You don't spit chew on the floor. You get a cup.
That's still disgusting. You have all those cups hanging around. All it takes is one person to knock it over or be like, that's my beer. I'm drunk. Gulp, gulp. You know?
Oh, look before you drink.
Yeah, I guess.
It's great.
By the end of the night Wednesday, it will be illegal to smoke inside bars and casinos in Montana because starting Thursday, the final portion of the Montana Clean Indoor Air Act will go into full effect, y'all.
I'm not looking forward to that at all, dude.
Honestly, I could give a shit either way. The only thing I really enjoyed was smoking in restaurants because it's nice to have
great.
A smoke
right after
while
you're done eating.
Or no, even while you're waiting for your food, it was nice to have a smoke. Once they got rid of that, I don't give a shit. Bars, whatever. Casinos, whatever. I don't care either way. But you, being a big gambling person, or you know, you are, you're not supposed to be, but you are. What do you think?
I don't like it.
Are you going to gamble less?
Well, I haven't gambled in over a week now.
Fantastic.
I don't think I would gamble as much because I wouldn't be able to smoke in the casino. It's just, that's going to be bad for business for them. And you know what? These old people and stuff that go in these casinos all the time, they're not going to have an easy time, like, remembering this.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be...
Every time, the fucking runner's going to have to go up to him and, you're going to have to go outside and smoke. And then be like, I don't understand. This is a bar.
I've been smoking since it was 1929.
I know, right?
And then they'll forget because, you know, they're old and their brains are mush. So they'll light up 5 minutes later. I can see some problems. At the Black Eagle Country Club Wednesday, they'll be giving out cigarettes and hosting a smoke-in starting at 7:30. Cool. We're trying to all get healthy with this Clean Indoor Air Act. So at 7:30 Wednesday night at the Black Eagle Club, we'll be giving you all cigarettes and just smoke them up. Smoke them if you got them.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
They're giving away smokes?
Yeah.
Where?
At the Black Eagle. I believe this is Great Falls, perhaps? Yeah, Great Falls. It seems almost everyone has an opinion about the smoking ban, and those opinions aren't changing. And while the Clean Indoor Air Act will keep public places in Montana smoke-free, are smoking regulations really making a dent in smokers' habits? And that's the thing. Like with pill habits, you know, companies try to engineer the pills so people can't abuse them. What do people do? Fucking abuse them.
They find a way.
People are gonna, something as addictive as tobacco, people are gonna fucking do regardless. Because you're like, oh, you can't smoke while you gamble. Okay, I'll gamble less. Or I'll find a place that allows it. And if no places allow it, then oh well.
Or I'll just gamble for a while. And you know what? Like when I would go and take a piss and I was on a good roll and I didn't want to walk away from my machine, I would take a card from my wallet or something and stick it in the button and I just walk away from it.
But you know what? I can see a lot of problems happening with that. As people are outside smoking, other people are in there jacking your winnings.
No,
out tickets and shit. You don't think so?
That's why you go to the runner and let them know that you're fucking going out. And everybody knows.
Check this out, though. The runner now has 10 different people to keep track of. She's not going to be able to watch that as everybody goes out to smoke.
Or, like, what I do is, like, I used to make, this is sad, but, you know, you'd come up with gambling buddies. Like, you know, like, bar friends and stuff, people you only saw at the bar. Like, these are the only people. The only time I would see these people was when I was at the casino.
Right.
You know, my gambling buddies or whatever. And so, like, you know, we would take turns going out and doing something outside, going to the car or taking a piss or whatever, and one of us would watch our machines for each other. So you end up doing things like that. Just make sure you go with somebody you know.
The buddy system.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that,
you
maybe.
Stick your card in there. I always tell them, like, if I hit it, fucking take the card out of it, and I'll be back in a minute.
But what they're saying is that, do you really think these smoker regulations are going to fix the habit?
No,
the habit's always gonna
not.
Exactly.
No. It will never fix it.
You can say no smoking outdoors. You can say no more smoking in your car while driving. I guarantee people still do it. Or
they have
you'll
banned
have
that in places that you cannot smoke in your car while you're
really
driving.
Yeah. That seems kind of. I mean, I guess it's
or wait, no
more.
It's on the cell phone. You can't.
Yeah,
talk
that
on
I
the
know,
phone while you're
and
driving.
That's understandable.
Yeah,
some people shouldn't be driving, let
but
alone
there
talking.
There
while
are
they
states
do it.
Where you can't smoke outside unless you're in a designated smoking area.
Right.
And that's straight up ridiculous. What if you live, you know,
then what people start doing is either, like I said, chewing or the patch or the gum. But for those that like the actual smoking, I don't think it's gonna fuck with their habits at all.
Nacho Camacho says, by the way, Matt and Danny, I'm mentioning the jamhole.com in my act next week.
Holla at your boy. Nacho does some stand-up down there in Florida. Is he in Florida also? Miami?
I'm not sure.
I
want to
say Miami. Well, wherever you're at, right on.
That's super cool.
Fuck yeah, that is
but,
super cool.
Back to the cigarette thing, that's not going to stop people from smoking. I've been smoking cigarettes since I was 15 years old at a pack a day. Okay, and being underage to even be smoking, that didn't fucking stop me. That didn't put a dent in it. I wasn't supposed to smoke anywhere, let alone, you know, just hindering me because
you do
places.
It though.
Yeah, you'll
people
do it.
People will
anyway.
Always find a way. Just like we said about the whole pill thing, they're trying now. I saw. I'm not sure which pharmaceutical company it is, but they've come out with a new version of OxyContin that is supposedly abuse proof. That's what they said about the last five versions of it. And
right.
guess what? Every single time, people figure out a way. People want to get high on their shit. They're gonna get high on their shit, regardless yep. of what you do to stop it. It's just like security with computers. No matter how secure you think your shit is, a human created that security protocol. So there's always going to be another human that can undo it,
that can
just
break
like
it
that.
Or whatever.
As long as it's created by humans, humans will be able to undo it, you know?
Yeah.
Carrie Anderson, the assistant manager at a public drug co in Great Falls, said, quote, "I've heard a few people say that, well, I might as well quit because I won't be able to smoke at the bar or anywhere. Why don't you just quit drinking then, Alky? I might as well quit smoking so I can go drink at the bar. How about you might as well quit?
Why don't you have a beer or whatever and then go outside, have your smoke, come back in and continue doing whatever
you're
doing.
Well, what I'm saying is they're both addictive. So why not switch it and say, since I can't smoke in the bar, I might as well quit drinking. Would you rather quit drinking or smoking?
Drinking.
Exactly. Me too.
I can go without drinking.
But smoking, you gotta have.
I don't want to quit smoking. I could.
It's like if
it would be horrible.
If I had to pick quitting weed or quitting cigarettes, it'd be the cigarettes, dude. I love weed.
Yeah.
I can't stop that shit. I mean, I can, and I've done it. Not saying that I'm addicted to weed, but out of the two, I'd rather get stoned than just have a cigarette buzz, which yeah. I don't even get, you know?
Now, if it was giving up, like, fishing or smoking, then it has to be smoking.
Really?
I'd be really
I find
sad.
That very hard to believe.
I would, dude, if I had a choice of never smoking again or never fishing again, I'd have to kick the smoking.
You would be a huge bitch
yes,
if
would.
That happened.
That's why I haven't quit. People are like, well, why don't you quit? You know, they're so expensive. I'm like, I'm just not ready to quit. Some people just are not ready to quit and don't want to.
Yeah.
And I know damn well that I've been doing this for a very long time, almost 8 years, 8, 9 years, something like that, and it just would not be good. It would not be good for me at all. I would be a total raging bitch. I'd be hormonal as hell and going through all this other stuff that I'm going through right now and then trying to stop doing this. No. No.
Exactly.
It does not work that way.
For some smokers, the Clean Indoor Air Act seems like one more pressure to stop smoking. Though local tobacco sellers say increased taxes and continuous price hikes seem to be bigger factors in driving people to kick the habit, which is not what's fucking happening at all. You're just making people spend more money on their fucking favorite smokes. I can't even get Bally anymore, so I switched to Drum, which is $35 now instead of $15 like it used to be. But I still buy it. I'm not going to quit because of it.
So bad.
Because I like smoking. That's all. I don't want to be alive when I'm 80, shitting my fucking pants. I want the cancer to hit and hit fucking hard when I'm about 69, 70 years old. That's all. Anderson adds, quote, "I've noticed an increase in the sales of the smoking cessation, but I believe most of it is due to cost. Some are calling it an anti-smoking movement, as tobacco regulations across the country are forcing many smokers to alter their habits, whether they decide to quit, switch brands, or even roll their own cigarettes. But many still wonder whether these new regulations will stop smoking in Montana." You're not gonna... Wow, that is like a prayer request, dude. Please make everybody quit smoking. That is never gonna happen. You created some seriously addictive shit.
Yep.
No fucking way that's gonna happen anytime soon. So, I guess good luck to everyone that fucking gambles and smokes or drinks and smokes or whatever.
Yeah, Burger says, "I didn't remember seeing a place that we could smoke in besides casinos." And that's
yep.
that's all there is.
And
know?
Outside, casinos and outdoors, and that's
casinos
it.
Casinos and bars. If it's usually every bar is a casino.
Right.
But, you know,
but after
that's
this,
the only places you could smoke at. And
after this, no more. I remember when the restaurants first started doing this, we would go to the restaurants that allowed smoking
yeah,
still.
Me
and
too.
Once those were all gone, then it was like, well, whatever. Now you smoke before you go in or whatever. So.
Yeah, in Florida, there was one place that you could still smoke in after a while, and I would always go there because on the outside of the door it said, "Smokers welcome," and I'd fucking boot to that place. Remember, there was a place in the mall that you could smoke at. That
yeah.
Anna's
yeah, that
whatever.
Anna's Greek Euros.
Greek
I totally
Euros.
Remember
yeah, I
that.
Yeah, used to always stop in there. Or like, fucking, what's that place? Finnegan's?
Yep.
Yep, you could smoke in there at one
yep.
point.
That's where all the kids would go when
was
I was younger.
24 hours a day.
You would go there, smoke cigarettes, drink coffee. Yes,
yep.
caller, you're live on the Jam Hole. Holla.
It's Shazam.
Oh, what's up,
Hi.
Baby?
Hey. So I'm supposed to tell you about the porn that was filmed at my house.
Oh, please.
Yes, please.
let's see. The director is Madison Young, and she's famous for doing, like, really hardcore bondage stuff.
Nice.
But this was, you can look her up. This was, it was kind of like a porn documentary. So each person that was in the movie, they did just an interview, like, what kind of sex do you like to have? And like, I am pansexual. I'll have sex with anything. And then they would proceed to have the kind of sex that they said they liked.
Was this for the HBO thing, or is this something different?
It's something completely different.
Okay.
It's just that now my apartment is a cool place for things to get filmed, which gets me money, so I'm happy.
So did they go into it with you knowing that your place was going to be the place, or did they see it and they were like, this is perfect?
Well, it's Madison Young is, I guess we're acquaintances. And so she said she knew that HBO had filmed there, and she asked to see my place. And she's like, okay, yeah, it's perfect. We want to film, you know, a whole movie. And so a whole porn movie, an entire shoot just takes one day. It's, it's pretty low budget, but they did one scene up on the roof of my building. Awesome. And it was funny. I was down in my apartment, which is down on the second floor, and the roof is up the sixth floor, and the windows were open because it was a warm day. But in my apartment, I could hear, you know, all the fuck sounds coming. I'm like, oh my God, what must my neighbors think? Because I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. I said, there's going to be a film crew in my apartment, but everything will be inside apartment, you know, in the apartment.
And then it
wasn't until they got here that they're like, oh, yeah, the roof would be a great place. Like,
that's
okay.
Awesome. Did you get the cops called for any indecent exposure stuff, or was everything cool?
No cops got called. This is San Francisco.
Yeah,
nobody
that's true. Yeah, yeah,
shit.
That's true.
Like, oh, yeah, naked people fucking on the roof? Okay.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I fucked up on that roof. It's not a big deal.
Our roof and every other roof. Have you looked up lately?
Right.
So is there a title for this that we can, like, keep an eye out for, once it's released?
Yeah, it's called Fluid, and it's a Good Vibrations production.
Okay.
I don't know. It probably will be out in just, like, probably another 2 months. The turnover time is really quick.
Right, right. I mean, you do one thing, they do it right.
Exactly.
So are you in this one?
No. I do behind-the-scenes stuff in porn only. I'm a production assistant.
Why would you?
I'm in the credits now.
Oh,
cool. Would you, if they were like, "Hey, we think you'd be perfect for this shot," or would you not?
Sure, I would, but I know I'm not. I don't have the body for it.
Okay, Shazam, we're shooting a porn, and I think you'd be perfect for this shot. All in.
How much you paying?
If Brayden's in it, then are you all in?
No.
Once my dick gets cured, then are you all in?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't want any sits shooting out goo.
Right.
Right. No shit.
It's kind of cool. It comes from two places now. Nah.
So, what is your whole take on this cis thing? Have you ever known guys that have had that problem?
No, and I don't know exactly where yours is. Is it on the shaft?
Yeah, right in the middle, kind of towards the left. And from what I read online on that message board, there was a bunch of anonymous posters there like, I have this too, and it's in the same spot. So it seemed like a lot of people have had the problem, you know, and even the doctor was like, yeah, this happens all the time. I was like, well,
I had never seen that before.
No one told me. What the fuck?
Well, aren't you going to lose some girth?
No, I don't think so. I think it's
yeah, you will.
No, they're not cutting into the penis itself.
That thing sticks off your dick pretty far. Okay?
Right, but it's its own.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like a speed bump.
But check this out.
It is.
It's its own entity. It has nothing to do with my dick itself. Once
well,
they take
I
it out,
still feel the bump rather.
Well,
than...
no shit. But I'm saying the bump has nothing to do with how my dick is normally. Like, once they take it out,
right,
my dick will be the same size it was. It just won't have the extra girth.
I kind of like
well,
the extra girth.
Well, then you should start wearing the ribbed for her pleasure condoms or something.
You don't wear
those. Some texture there, buddy.
Well, I'm sure once the stitches are in, there'll be plenty of texture.
No, condoms. Condoms,
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I know you guys are monogamous. You don't have to worry.
Yeah,
and we know Matt came out clean.
Hell yeah. Was there any doubt?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
I actually did doubt, considering you used to be an IV drug user. Yes.
Well, what does that have to do with it? Hold on. What was shooting?
Well, that has a lot to do with it.
No, how though?
People.
Why would I?
How? Because, and I know you said you didn't share needles, but some people, when they're really fucking high, you know, they do stupid shit.
Right, but do you? You know, Montana, you don't have to have a prescription to buy needles, right? No one up here really shares needles.
Yeah,
you can just go buy.
You don't have to here either. People go up to the pharmacy. They don't even have to buy them. They just go up and they say, "Hey, I want this size. You know, this size needle syringe." Okay,
oh wow!
There you go. And it's
wow.
It's to make sure that they don't. They don't share needles, but
right.
High people have been known to do stupid things.
I can see that, and it is. A lot of states aren't like that. It's Montana, I guess, there where you're at, and I think maybe one or two other states.
Well, I think that is nice, though, because if you're going to do it, I would much rather people do it and don't share needles, because that's where a lot of shit comes from.
Yep.
You know? That's not cool. So, I mean, if you're going to do it and you can't stop them, then might as well be doing it clean, right?
Yeah, and also there's not only sharing needles, but even just if you use the same needle twice, you can introduce bacteria into your system.
Yep.
And it's all sort of dirty.
Yeah.
I was lucky to be OCD enough not to have any problems like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you were also having sex with people who probably weren't nearly as OCD.
Oh, my God.
So that's why I was concerned.
I never got to that point, but thanks.
You had some sex with a lot of different chicks that I could look at and be like, dude, she has a HIV. You know,
apparently not, because I don't have the HIV. Damn it.
They don't.
You can't tell by looking, and it's hard to get the HIV from a woman to a man if you're just having vaginal intercourse.
Right.
All I know how to have is gradual intercourse.
Gradual.
So how's...
Vaginal intercourse.
Oh, I thought you said gradual.
No, he's an idiot. Okay.
No, seriously. I seriously thought she said gradual.
You're gradual instead of vaginal? What's wrong with you? Are you gay?
Gradual, like, you know, you start off slow as opposed to not gradual, where you just run in, you're like, bam, 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 oh, I just came, done and done.
Yeah, where you don't give her a chance to lubricate, I guess that would be non-gradual.
Right, like hasty. There's gradual
so
and
is
hasty.
Your penis okay? Can we have sex tonight?
Absolutely, it's all good.
And will you get me off this time so I don't have to, like,
if you don't bleed all over my face again,
no, I'm not
absolutely.
Done bleeding. I'm done bleeding.
Whoa, I don't like how that came out.
I thought you liked the bleeding.
I do, just not in my mouth, per se.
Yeah.
So, how? Anything else interesting going on? Find any new Craigslist killers lately?
No killers. Let's see. The last Craigslist guy I met. Oh, actually, there's a really great guy I've met off Craigslist. He's my new favorite guy. He's only 26, so he's nice and fun. Yeah.
Okay, hold on now. Why is he your favorite guy? What is it about him?
He's got a nice, good size hard dick.
I was going to say it's not his eyes.
Number two, he's like a little skinny, which I like, cute, adorable. And he's 26, so he's young and fresh.
Nice.
And he looks really sweet and nice, but in bed he's mean.
Nice. What do you have to do to invoke the meanness?
Just get naked.
Well, no,
probably.
I mean, I can just say, hey, please slap me, and he does. Or
okay, because...
He spanks, you know, good stuff.
Okay, because some guys, like, it takes something. You have to pull their hair a certain way or smack them before they'll get into that mode. But it's cool. You got a guy you can just be like, fucking hurt me, and he's like, rah, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But then he's really sweet. So it's perfect balance. Perfect.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. I can't even pull your hair. You don't like it, so I don't pull it.
Yeah, sometimes.
It makes me kind of sad.
Yeah.
I want to.
And he doesn't have enough hair for me to pull, but he pulls my hair. It's great. And he likes it when I have my hair in two braids.
Yes.
And he yanks on them.
See, something you could do, Danny, if you had hair like a woman.
I haven't cut it yet. It's been a while.
I know, I'm just playing.
I was thinking about growing it out. I haven't cut it yet. It is starting to bug me because it gets in my eyes now. So.
Yeah, gotta let it grow out. So,
I'm thinking about it.
What do you think of our relationship now? Is it any better than what it was? Are we growing?
Are we doing good?
Are we going to make it?
Well, I don't know. fucking know. It does sound like you guys are probably communicating a little better. That's good.
Right. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Before, she was like, why don't you guys just fucking break up? This is horrible.
I know. That's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because it sounded like Danny felt like Matt was always, like, complaining, and Matt was like, well, if you just do what I fucking say, and it didn't sound very happy.
Is that what I sound like?
Yes.
Just do what I fucking say.
You are a prick sometimes.
Wow. I'm sorry for that.
You should be.
I am.
It's all recorded. You can listen back.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, now I think he feels bad because now he's got a cystic problem and he's got these weird problems now. And, like, now he understands.
Just the one. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, now you understand that, like, when I was going through that stuff, you know, how I felt and shit. And now you've got it and you're like, damn, dude, you know, I'm really sorry for giving you so much shit that I did.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. Because for a while, we could not have sex because of your broken penis.
Okay, so can you tell God to take the cyst off of my penis now? I've learned my lesson.
Sure, but it won't do anything because it doesn't exist.
Oh, damn it.
Right, but, you know, now you understand, though. So it's kind of cool that he has to, that he has this problem.
That I have to have surgery on my dick? Yeah, that's just super cool.
It's not cool like that. It's just cool.
If that helps you get some fucking sympathy, then yeah.
Yeah, it's cool that he understands now, you know, what it's all about, so, or what I had to go through, so, and what I still have to go through.
Well, lucky me.
So, yeah, it's kind of nice. And I have surgery, a date for surgery on the 22nd, so it's pretty cool. They're going to pull my ovary out. Yeah, they're going to pull my left ovary out through my belly button.
Through your asshole?
Through my belly button.
I hope it makes the popping sound.
Are you still having ass problems, too?
Am I still having what problems?
Ass.
No.
Are you still having ass problems, too?
No. My ass is fine as long as nothing goes in it. I'm fine. Which sucks.
Well, if you like things in it, then it would suck. Oh, my God. If I couldn't have anything in my ass, I'd be so sad.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, my doctor had told me, he goes, you know, you just have a really sensitive intestine or colon or whatever. He's like,
you have a sensitive anus. Your anus is a sensitive flower.
I can't put anything in it. I could get like a pinky in there without like it fucking anything up, and that's okay. But anything else, and then it fucks me up and I bleed. And
so what you're saying then is that if I ever want to fuck you in the ass when I go have this dick surgery, I need to tell the doc, hey, lop off a few inches. I want anal.
No.
No. She can't have anything in her ass.
Damn it.
She does not have a future in anal porn.
Oh, well.
No, and it does suck because I did like that. I did like doing that, but I can't do that now. So I have to be nice to my body and not mutilate it.
If only she was a masochist, then she'd be into it. She'd be like, yeah, fuck that ass. It hurts when you...
This is beyond masochism. She's causing herself physical danger. That's not good.
Well, yeah, right. No. That's what I'm saying. If it wasn't like life or death, but just a little.
Because it ends up like...
Yeah, sure.
It ends up like making holes in my intestines, and that's not good.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though that would really make me feel like a man, I would just be like, damn, I wrecked that ass. But no, I would feel bad.
I would let you if I could, and you know.
I know. All right. Well, anything else you want to say before we let you go, Shazam?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm glad you guys are doing well.
Yeah, me too.
I
are you?
You. We haven't talked to you in a long time.
Are you excited to see the 250 show?
The what show?
The 250 show.
Oh yes, I am. I just I've been keeping up. I swear, and it sounds like
what?
You guys had a lot of fun.
The what? No.
Yeah, no, we had a blast, and yeah, we'll get that up soon.
I even
hopefully.
Dressed like a pretty girl.
She did.
Yeah, I heard, and your boobies were apparently in rare form.
Yes, my boobies were in the pristine showing. Whatever you want to call
it. Yep, they look good.
All right, choice that night.
Well. Thank you very much, Shazam. Let us know when that porn is out and how we can get it. We'll have to have you back on once that happens.
Hell yeah.
If not sooner.
And of course, everyone can read my blog, randomrimjobs.com.
Oh, of course, randomrimjobs.com. Thank you very much, Shazam.
Okay, later.
All right, holla back. Fantastic. I bet the next live audience show, we need to get her up here because I want orgies.
You want orgies?
I want orgies. Next live audience show, orgies.
No orgies.
Yes.
No orgies.
Huge orgies.
No.
All right. Well, I got a few more things before we get out of here.
Okay.
Sorry that these people on the phone lines, these interviews, yeah. like we're fucking popular or I something. Know. Christ. So I was getting the oil changed and some work done on the old work truck the other day.
Does it still go clack, 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 clack?
Every now and then, but whatever.
Okay.
And I noticed on the TV, there was this guy on Fox News, and I didn't know at the time, but now that I know, all I saw was the Fox News GB, and I had no idea what it was. And they were kind of making fun of Islam and about how what Iran is working on is going to usher in a reign of chaos and enlightenment, which is called Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, what? The 12th Imam. And they're saying that all of this missile testing and all that shit is Iran's way of being able to annihilate their enemies, because once their enemies are annihilated, that ushers in the 12th Imam, which is their savior, basically.
Okay.
Iran's religion is getting really close to happening here, guys. So if we can do something about that. But no, what's awesome is they're, the guys on there like, man, it's frightening how many people believe this stuff. And I did a little research before the show, and come to find out the guy, the GB stands for Glenn Beck. I had no idea. I don't watch
Glenn
that stuff.
Glenn Beck?
Yeah, Glenn Beck, I guess. And
yeah, I think that's the, dude, that's the name of the fucking China-America guy.
No, that's different. I know who you're talking about.
Oh no, it's Gary Beck.
Right.
Sorry.
That's that's what I thought too. But
that was
no.
super creepy.
This guy has.
I'm like, whoa.
Your friend doesn't have a Fox News show.
No, I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. Nah, I just checked me up for a second.
It's just funny that they're on there and they're like, you know, it's silly that they believe this and that. But then here they are, like, believing that Jesus is coming back to save all of them. You know, it's the same thing. It's just different symbols for it. But the difference in those symbols is what is going to annihilate the world, I believe. I firmly believe that. Religion will one day annihilate
yes,
the world.
I also think so.
Seriously, it's fucked up. So, he had this guy, Joel Rosenberg, on the show, who was a former senior aide to Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And they're talking because this guy wrote a book, I guess, and it's about how Iran... the book is called Epicenter 2.0, and it's how, you know, the world is about to end. And that's, I kind of caught part of it, and I was, you know, it was kind of interesting that they were knocking on Iran's thing when they do the same, you know?
Yeah.
So, Rosenberg says, it starts out, he says, well, as an evangelical Christian, yes, there's a lot of evidence that we may be living in the end of days. And that's what this is. America goes crazy over the belief that the end of days is near. The last, you know, revelation, basically.
Yeah.
Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Right. Okay. So, Beck is like, okay, Rosenberg says, I don't want to bring it about. That's a different thing for Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad, as Sick and Wrong calls him. Which is the leader of Iran. Something Ahmadinejad. We call him Ahmadinejad.
Okay.
I had the first time I heard that on
jacket.
I heard that on Sick and Wrong, and it was so funny to me. So Beck says, yes, okay, tell me about the two thresholds quickly. What are the two thresholds that they have just crossed over in Iran? This is what they're making a big deal about. We have just crossed the two thresholds that will usher in the end of days. In Iran's version, uh-huh. of course. So, Rosenberg says, absolutely, there are two red lines the United States and Israel have been deeply worried about Iran would cross. First, that they would be able to build an intercontinental ballistic missile, which they have been testing, I believe, and therefore able to reach Europe and the United States with said missile, and that they complete the nuclear fuel cycle and actually build a workable nuclear bomb, probably to put on the front of said intercontinental ballistics missile.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you got it?
Got it.
So, this kind of blew my mind a little bit. Then Beck says, okay, now here's the problem. You know, you and I have talked about this for a couple of years, and this actually started with me going and listening to the speeches of I'm a Dinner Jacket at the UN, and nobody ever reported on this, and this stuff just jumped out at me where he said at the end of his speeches each time, quote, "Oh Allah, give me the strength to hasten the return of the promised one." Which sounds like Jesus coming again, right, in our version, the Judaic Christian. Right. Okay. Yeah. And I remember hearing that and said to one of the guys next to me, who is the promised one? And what does he have to do to hasten it? Rosenberg says it's not Obama. Those of you that might think Obama is the Antichrist, nay, it is not. Is not Obama, it is the promised one, the 12th Imam. America, you need to hear this, because whether you believe in this nut job or not, he believes it, or he's just a politician using religion, which is kind of like what we do here. Right. but this is why Iran is dangerous. Quickly, the 12th Imam is the Messiah. But not our Messiah. Now, you're like, well, no shit, Jesus is coming. No, dude, not our Messiah, their Messiah. And you know what fucking happens if their Messiah gets here before our Messiah does? I don't even want to think about that. All I'm saying is, Jesus, you better get the lead out, brah. Because the 12th Imam, he's packed, and he's on his fucking way. He's on his way on the front of an intercolonical ballistic missile. That's a ballistic missile that'll blow up your colon, if you will. Okay.
No.
But is that just blows my mind. That, like, it's a race between invisible friends. Whose invisible friend is going to get here first, thus ushering in a new era of blowing up shit and complete destruction. But there are things now, you know, for Christians to bring Jesus back, you can't do it, right? The second coming, Jesus will come when he's ready, right?
Right.
There's nothing we can do to make this happen. That's where we fucked up. In Iran, they actually wrote in how to bring the Messiah back. See, we're screwed. We have to just wait. But they got it figured out. There's things they can do to make this fucking happen. So, in order for the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, the Islamic Messiah to come, they need to destroy little Satan, Israel, and the great Satan, the United States.
Right.
Iran has to. Iran believes religiously that they need to destroy the U.S. and Israel in order for their Messiah to come. That's fucked up. That's their religion, dude. They believe that.
That's why religion is stupid.
But they believe that, like people here believe in God. And that's fucking scary, because they believe that as much as we in the U.S. believe in God. They're going to do whatever it takes to get rid of the U.S. and Israel so that their Messiah can come. Do you see what I'm saying? If people here in the U.S. believe that, they would, in a heartbeat, destroy whatever needed to be destroyed for Jesus to come back. We're just lucky that that wasn't written in the Bible like they wrote it in whatever, you know, the 12th Imam is. But that's fucked up. And what's dangerous is these leaders of Iran, currently not all of the people of Iran, but the leaders actually believe they need to create bloody carnage, the death of millions of people, in order to create the conditions for the Mahdi to bring peace. So they need to destroy the U.S. and Israel before the Mahdi can come and bring them peace. So
okay.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked
and
up.
That's what is happening there. They're starting to do this. Do you see what's... They're going to do it. And shit's going to be effed.
Yeah.
So I hope we all have bomb shelters. But then Beck says, so here we are. We just, you know, talking about Jesus coming back at any time and having a good time talking about it, because I think it has to be really ugly for him to come back. And that's the idea in Iran with some of the crazy people that run the country. At least if they don't believe it, they're pretending to believe it to whip their people into a frenzy. And then the guy that wrote the book is like, a distinction here. We're not talking about Jesus. Evangelicals want Jesus to come back. It's the same fucking thing.
It's stupid.
It's the same thing, except their Bible says for the Messiah to come back, this and this have to happen. Ours says he'll come back whenever. You don't know when.
It's stupid.
It blows my fucking mind. And I swear to fucking... to whom it may concern that if you stupid motherfuckers blow up the world before I'm dead because your stupid fucking religion, I'm going to be so pissed.
Well,
so
yeah.
Pissed. If you guys fuck this up for the rest of us, there will be hell to pay. There fucking will be hell to pay.
That really sucks, man.
That does fucking suck.
That because of this religion that they believe in, that they're going to try and kill everybody.
Yeah.
That really sucks.
So what happens then, say hypothetically, they destroy the U.S., the U.S. is no more, they destroy Israel, no more, and nothing happens.
They're going to be pissed.
Then do the leaders say, okay, and now Germany needs to be destroyed, and now France?
They'll probably just all kill themselves.
Will they just keep it going to control their people? Or do they really believe it? Hmm. That sucks. Well, speaking of shit that sucks, you know what else sucks? Being sick absolutely sucks. Feel like I should put my mask back on.
Alright, what else sucks?
Your voice sucks.
Yeah.
Can you hear this okay? This is great. I liked wearing the
Why
mask.
Why do you like wearing that?
So I don't get sick.
That's
dude.
Creepy. Okay, you can wear that all you
and
want.
And I got a bunch of cocaine inside it.
Not cool.
Woo!
No. Can you just never mention cocaine again?
Okay. Cocaine. So, you remember KGEZ?
Throw a mouse at you.
Remember The Edge? Remember Z600?
Yeah, those... Yeah.
The guy... Straight. Remember last we heard John Stokes had gotten his bankruptcy thing overturned and the court said, you owe these fools like a grip of fucking money, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, the radio station has been closed. Bom, bom, bom.
Well, why?
Because he couldn't afford to pay the shit. To pay all that debt, so they took it away, dude. Flag County authorities shut down the KGEZ radio station south of Kalispell Thursday afternoon, following a court ruling earlier in the week that allowed for the liquidation of station owner John Stokes' assets. They had to sell all the shit. They closed it down, and they're going to sell all the stuff.
Huh.
That sucks, dude.
Because he owes money?
Yeah, because a lot of money, and he did some shady shit, and, yeah.
Well, don't do shady shit.
That's right.
Radio show.
You know what's awesome, though? Like, no matter what, we will always never lose this.
No?
Like, no, you can't come in and shut the jam hole down. Shit. Shit. I'll do that shit with Danny riding a fucking exercise bike to power the fucking router that broadcasts. I don't give a shit. I'll put the kitty on a fucking running machine to power the fucking router that broadcasts this
do
shit.
That. Don't
Fuck
make
yeah.
slave out of the kitty. I love the kitty.
The move by law enforcement left a crowd of Z600 listeners standing down the road from the station, confused as to what had happened and lamenting what might be the permanent silencing of a talk radio station they cherished. That sucks. What are all these people going to do now that they don't have anyone to tell them what to do? They're lost, dude.
Yeah.
Sheep without a shepherd.
At least they had that big thing, that anti-vaccine rally before it got shut down.
Yeah, at least.
I guess.
At least.
If you're into that. I got to watch some stuff in the Stumble today, or a bunch of shit in the Stumble today. I watched an interview with the blue dude, the dude who did the colloidal silver for too long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he...
His life kind of sucks right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
well,
blue.
No, he totally feels fine. Like, they did a physical and everything on him, and he's totally healthy.
Do you think he listens to Eiffel 65 in the morning?
I have no idea. He's like, they asked him, like, you know, if you would have known what would happen to you, do you think you would have still done the colloidal silver? He's
of
like,
course.
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
No, he said no.
Well, that's good then.
He's
he
like,
learned.
No, this is ridiculous. He's like, every day, he's like, it, every fucking day, someone will come up to me and be like, what happened to you? Or blah, blah,
yep.
blah. He's like, I have these crowds. He's like, for a long time, I wouldn't even come out of my house. You know, that really fucks with you and stuff. So, fuck your homeopathic remedy bullshit. Fuck your anti-vaccine rallies. People need vaccines to keep from getting like me.
That's right.
So, go
if
get
you
vaccinated.
Got...
If you know what? If Burger would have been vaccinated.
If you would have been vaccinated.
I wouldn't have been sick.
And I wouldn't be fighting. I have a war going on inside of me right now as we speak.
Burger says, I got a small penis.
I just want to get laid, he says. No, they're talking about if I want ass sex, I should have fucked Smashley because she wants it in the butt. I don't want ass sex that bad. I mean, I'm just saying. I'd maybe...
You would never cheat never mind. For ass sex, right?
Not with her. I always had a rule. If you're going to cheat, it better be worth it. Words to live by. Several Flag County Sheriff's Department vehicles blocked off the driveway of the AM station, while Sheriff Mike Meehan, County Attorney Ed Corrigan, Under Sheriff Pete Wigner, man, they had a fucking party there, and several deputies moved in and out of the building. One deputy walked out carrying a bulletproof vest in his hand. Ooh. Stokes and his daughter, Elizabeth Stokes, I did shrooms with her once, her and her friend, a long time ago. Yeah. Eventually emerged from the station, climbed into their vehicles while deputies moved to allow them to exit, and headed south on the highway. And then it just goes to talk about the bankruptcy and all this shit. So, yeah, that sucks. And I deliver to a few people mentioned in here. Interesting. I delivered all the nut jobs. What's up with that? Not saying
I don't know.
The guy here, but I mean, in general.
Does Culligan get all the good ones?
I don't fucking know, but fuck them. But, no, I just think they have them, too. There's just that many here, you know? Yeah.
You guys have to share.
That sucks, man. Stokes filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection March 4th, and then that's what got overturned, and the jury ordered him in 2008 to pay $3.8 million to the Gardeners.
I think I got rid of my fever.
That's good.
My head doesn't feel all in pain anymore.
Good.
Yay.
So, yeah, that sucks. Another one bites the dust, I guess.
Yeah, but we didn't really need that one, so.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't really care. It doesn't hurt me at all.
And then, real quick, before we get out of here, I got a couple more things. Speaking of the homeopaths, did you hear about the homeopath, the wife that got jailed because they let their baby die?
That's probably happened a few times.
Right.
But,
okay, well.
Elaborate.
The most recent one. This one, the baby had eczema. Something
eczema.
You should never die from, right?
No, I have eczema.
And you're okay, right?
It's something stupid. You just get lotion.
Well, check
good.
This out. They watched her skin bleed, her hair go white, and her small frame shrink as their baby girl fought to battle her eczema. Is it worse if you're a baby when you get it?
No, like, it just depends on how severe you get it. Like, I can get it on my feet, and if I don't take care of it, it can get extremely bad to where I pull off my socks and skin comes off with it.
Like,
and I'm bleeding.
If you're rubbing bullshit homeopathic remedies on
actual,
it.
Elidel.
Science?
No, you go to the doctor, you get Elidel. Elidel is this awesome fucking cream for it, and it clears it up. Or you go get a shot of fucking steroids and it's over.
It's science-based medicine, not homeopathy.
Yeah, you need that to get rid of it. Eczema can be horribly bad if you don't take care of it.
This was their daughter, and they sat by and watched this happen.
Oh, my God,
they watched
her
constantly scream out in pain, her sores weeping through tears in tears in her skin, and the corneas in her eyes melt. And in the end, by not seeking proper medical treatment until it was too late, a homeopath and his wife watched 9-month-old Gloria Mary die.
Dude,
let your kid die
because... Take her to a fucking doctor. It's eczema.
Yeah.
All you need is a little tube of fucking Elidel.
But they were he was a homeopath. And they just let it happen.
I wonder if she wasn't. I wonder if the whole time she's like, we need to take her to the fucking doctor. And he's like, no, bitch. I bet you she fucking broke up with his ass, because that's how it was.
I bet they were both into it, though. And it looks like, from the picture, they're Indian, like, dot, not feather. So I can see him like, yeah, yes, I will be rubbing this lotion on her skin. And the wife is like, yes, yes, it is very good. Praise Allah.
What the fuck?
We will soon be taking over. At the end, the baby died. Thomas Sam, 42, and his wife, Manju Adudut, 37, sobbed in their dock in the NSW Supreme Court on Monday as they were each handed custodial sentences for the manslaughter of their eczema-stricken daughter. Thomas Sam was sentenced to at least 6 years in jail with a maximum sentence of 8 years. Additional consideration was given to the fact he was treating his young daughter. He was the one being like...
Giving her the homeopathic.
Exactly.
Crap.
Like, wouldn't you realize, though, even the dumbest homeopath, if you're doing a certain something and it's getting worse, would you keep doing that?
No.
Obviously, it's not working, you fucking idiot. That blows my mind. Especially, I can see it happening if someone else takes their kid to a homeopath, because there's no connection there. You watched as your little 9-month-old daughter died. Like, you watched that happen, and you did nothing.
So did the mother get jailed also?
Manju was given a maximum 5 years and 4 months with a non-parole period of 4 years. So, yeah.
Good fucking pricks.
Is that enough time?
Homeopathy should be illegal in its own.
It kills more than it helps.
It does. Seriously, like, I mean, yeah. If homeopathy should just be something that you do on your own if you really want to. Like,
if you're
yourself. Like,
I don't know, dude.
Well, I don't know. Like,
it's your body. Do whatever.
When I would get sick, a lot of times my dad would make me like a hot toddy type deal. It's like with rum and
but the hot toddy didn't kill you.
No. But it's kind of like a homeopathy type medication. But it's not like that. It does have some kind of cough syrup and it's got rum in it.
But
it's
listen,
hot. It's
if you would have gotten worse, he would have taken you to the doctor, not been like, no more hot toddies, yeah, he would have helped.
That's so stupid, though. If things get so bad, I think people should just go to the fucking doctor.
Yeah, even,
you know,
but
I don't
they
like
don't believe
going to the
that.
Doctor because, one, I owe them a lot of fucking money. But if it really came down to it to where, like, I thought I was going to die, yeah, I'll go to the goddamn doctor. And if this shit doesn't get better within a week, I'll go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Probably not. But, yeah.
It's ridiculous. In handing down the sentences on Monday, Justice Peter Johnson said Thomas Sam's arrogant approach to his preference for homeopathy above conventional medicine and Manju Sam's deference to her husband led to Gloria's death. The offenses did not involve an isolated act or omission, but rather a prolonged, sustained, and deliberate decision by each offender not to seek proper medical attention for Gloria over a very substantial period of time. And that fucking...
It takes a long time for eczema
dude,
to get that bad.
9 months since she was born with it, obviously, right?
That sucks. And I've seen... My dad has had the worst case of eczema
she ended
I've
up
ever
dying
seen in my life.
Of an infection.
Yeah, no, the eczema itself won't kill you.
Her corneas were melting. Yeah. That's fucked up, dude. And they just were like,
My dad has had the worst case of eczema I've ever seen. We
more
took him
water.
To the hospital. The doctors were like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. They don't even know what to do with him. All they do is they'll go in and give him a shot of steroids because that's the only thing that makes it go away.
Yep.
He's the only case in this state that gets the steroid shot once every 6 months for eczema.
Homeopathic steroids or real steroids?
The real kind. The kind that make them want to fuck everything that moves.
Right.
That's my dad.
Fantastic.
I have pictures of his feet, dude. It gets so bad. Like, he takes off his socks and it peels off the skin with it. And, like, blood and stuff, you can see the stains on his shoes. And it to the point where he can't even walk. That's how bad that shit
That's
gets.
Fucked up, yeah.
Yeah. And when he takes the steroids, it clears it right the fuck up. It's really
Oh,
cool.
I bet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it. And yeah, that sucks that happens. But
that people are that
even
stupid
though,
to neglect your own fucking child.
Yeah. Even though they made somewhat of an example by being like, look, if this happens, you will go to jail. I guarantee it'll continue to happen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And that fucking sucks, you know?
I mean, how many times do we see stories like that?
It's quite often. Nothing new at all.
It's ridiculous. People
so,
are stupid.
Did you hear about in Columbus, Ohio, that dude that robbed a house with some other guys? Like, three guys go and rob a couple.
Okay.
The dude comes back and asks the chick out on a date. Like, he was robbing the place with his two bros and is like,
damn.
I know, right?
Who the fuck does that?
Even though she's married, obviously, because her husband was right there crying along with her. And he's like, you know what, guys? I think I got a chance. I saw her looking at me. Hey, did you see the way she was looking at me?
I wonder, did they arrest him, like, after that?
Yeah. A robbery suspect was arrested when he returned to the scene of the crime to ask a victim out on a date.
That's stupid.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio.
Hi.
Good job. Was it Tim? Columbus police alleged that Stefan Bennett, 20, was among three men who robbed a couple late Sunday. Sergeant Sean Laird said the woman recognized Bennett as one of the robbers when he returned to ask her about 2 hours later.
Two hours?
Not even the next day, dude. He's like, man, I gotta go back and ask her. I gotta do it now. I gotta fucking get there. And she's like, hey, you look familiar. Where do I know you from?
Oh, I just robbed you.
Like 2 hours ago?
Right.
Craigslist, maybe? I don't know.
That's stupid.
Yeah. She had a relative call 911. Police said Bennett was arrested in front of the home. He was arraigned Tuesday on charge of aggravated robbery and being a complete retard. He's in jail on $100,000 bail.
Oh, my God.
That I just thought that was great. I had to mention that. And then last thing before we get out of here.
That
did
was in the stumble.
Yeah. Thank you, Burger.
Yep.
You notice we didn't have that many more things added to the few hundred things that you didn't go through in the stumble while he was here.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. I did have about 300 things to go through, though. Yeah. Seriously, it took me 3 hours.
It's nice now not seeing 99 next to my stumble bar.
It says 2 right now,
2.
I believe.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, like I said, last thing before we get out of here.
I was so pissed off. I get down to like 60-something, and I go have a smoke, and I come back, and it's back at 99. I'm like, fuck! Just getting pissed, dude. And then I was like, all right. You know, yep. I knocked it back down to like 70-something. Okay, I think this is it. And then it just, boom, right back to 99. Fuck. Like, it gives you a little while to make you think that, oh, you know, maybe I am actually at 76.
Yeah, right.
You know? Maybe.
We should have, I totally forgot, we should have gave him the Stumbler of the Year award.
He's
at the live show.
I'm going to make him an award.
For sure. We'll yes. send you a Stumbler of the Year award.
I will.
But yeah, I think this was also stumbled to us. Did you know that in highly religious states, teen birth rates are higher than in maybe not so religious states?
Well, probably because the parents are like, it's a sin to abort the child.
But it's a sin to fuck when you're not married.
Right.
So do two sins make a right? Or
well,
how does that work?
If you already fuck up, I guess their vision of it, you would say, is to own up to it and take responsibility for it.
Even though it's a child of Satan.
Right.
Satan's spawn, if you will.
Right.
Huh. U.S. states whose residents have more conservative religious beliefs, on average, tend to have higher rates of teenagers giving birth.
Well,
a new study
maybe
suggests.
It's so shunned upon that their family's like, you know, don't do this, don't do that, and blah, blah, blah. That the kids are like, I gotta rebel.
I gotta
blah,
just
blah, blah,
fuck
blah. Yeah,
everything.
That's probably what it is, too.
If I can put my dick in it, I'm going to.
And then once they get pregnant, the parents are like, no, you can't have an abortion. Like, you know how
they're
Ashley,
like, whoa,
dude,
I can't?
Dude, Ashley, when she was pregnant, she had an appointment to get an abortion, dude. She had an appointment. And her parents
what
were
happened?
Like, no, her parents were like, no, don't do that. That's what happened.
And she was like, oh, okay.
No, not like that. But, like, her parents just didn't feel the same way about it, and they just talked her out of it or whatever.
If my parents would have done that, I would have been like, okay, then I want in writing that you will take care of the child whenever I ask. No matter what time of day or night.
Well, not only
case
did she not have the abortion, she also had twins, so fuck her, but, you know, that sucks.
So, I have a question, then. If you're getting an abortion, and the doctor goes in and is like, whoa, it's twins, do they charge you for two, or is it the
no,
same bill?
No, it's just the same thing. What they do with an abortion now is they give you a pill, and it basically liquidates the fetus, and they go in and suck it out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
It's cool.
With the shop vac still, though.
Kind of.
And the hanger.
Right.
I would expect.
Or actually, I think they give you that pill and then you're supposed to stay home.
You
for
just
a couple
go
of
home
days.
And poop it out, literally.
It's like a period.
A cunt turd.
Kind of.
That's awesome.
If it's small enough, if it's at a certain stage, then they have to actually go
right.
and take it out.
The relationship could be due to the fact that communities with such religious beliefs, a literal interpretation of the Bible, for instance, may frown upon contraception, researchers say. If that same culture isn't successfully discouraging teen sex, the pregnancy and birth rates rise. So it's not that they're just going out and fucking, it's that when they do go out and fuck, they're not using birth control of any kind.
Right, right.
That's fucked up. See, that seems, yeah, dude, that's way fucked up.
Wow.
Mississippi topped the list for conservative religious douchebags and teen birth rates, according to the study results, which will be detailed in a forthcoming issue of Journal of Reproductive Health, of course. However, the results don't say anything about cause and effect, though study researcher Joseph Strayhorn of Drexel University College of Medicine and University of Pittsburgh offers a speculation of the most probable explanation. We conjecture that religious communities in the U.S. are more successful in discouraging the use of contraception among their teenagers than they are in discouraging sexual intercourse itself. So they discourage them from using the contraception, but they're not saying anything about initially having the sex like you should be doing.
That's
stupid.
Yes.
You're going to just be like, yeah, go ahead and fuck. Just don't use birth control. Rather than being like, don't fuck until you're married. And if you do, then...
Well, I never use birth control anyway, but that's me. I'm one of the lucky few that can do that.
Right.
Right. Don't be like me.
So, yeah, pretty interesting study, though. And, I mean, it does kind of make sense if you think about it that, you know, that would be the case. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes, of course, once those get finished. So, real quick before we get out of here, I forgot to mention, I was at the hospital today in Polson delivering.
Okay.
And I was just kind of freaking out, like, this is swine flu central, right?
Right.
And then with you getting sick and Berger bringing it here, and it's interesting, you can see how it spreads, you know, like, from Michigan to here. From here, it hit maybe MDS, it goes to Florida, it hit maybe the Basement Boys, it goes to Idaho, and it just spreads like that, you know? So I'm in the hospital, and, like, every doorknob I see, and anytime I hear someone cough, I'm, like, holding my breath and shit while I'm carrying these jugs. So fucking stupid. And then I come, I get through a door, and I'm down a hallway, and I see a larger woman.
Okay.
Well, portly, perhaps. Yeah. Walking towards me.
Doing the waddle?
Kind of, waddling towards me. Mm-hmm. And I know we're about to go.
Only penguins make the waddle cute, okay?
Okay.
Just saying.
What if they dress like it?
No. No, because penguins don't have fat rolls.
So... I know at some point we're going to cross paths in this little hallway, and I started wondering, like, is it rude to let her go first, knowing that she's a big fat chick, and if we both try to go, we're probably going to get stuck? Or does that make them feel bad that, like, maybe I'm misjudging it a little, and I'm, like, way over here, and, you know, maybe she doesn't think she's that fat? Like, it made me feel really awkward that I'm walking, and she's making eye contact, and it's like, if I give her too much room, I'm going to make her feel like she's super fat, but if I don't give her enough room, we're going to get stuck in the hallway.
Right.
Like, it's just a weird thing. Have you ever... Do you do that at Teletech? Like, when you walk through the hallways, you're like, whoa.
Make room. I walk really fast and dodge. I dodge like a motherfucker.
And that's what I do, too, but...
But I don't care about other people's, like, you know, feelings.
Right, okay.
When it comes to that stuff,
I guess because I'm at work and I have my name on the shirt and the business,
well,
and people
I got my
tattle.
Name on my badge and shit, and they can be all, you know, pissed at me all they want, but I don't give a fuck. You know, when it comes time for my break, you are not stopping me from hitting that fucking smoke deck.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of different than when I'm in delivering places. I just always feel like when I do that and I give them too much room, they're going to, like, go make the phone call and be like, your water guy was very rude. He walked around me like I was big and fat, you know, or something like that. Something stupid like that.
That's stupid.
It's just an awkward moment.
If they're big, you know what? They know they're big.
Right. Okay. And then the last thing I want to mention, I noticed when I was in there delivering, I went into a conference room there, and they're doing the... CPR training and stuff like that.
Right.
Did you know they have a book that's called ECG for Dummies?
Are you serious?
Like, the people that are saving your lives...
You don't
are learning from... Like, in the hospital, dude! This is how they're teaching people.
ECG for Dummies.
That's, I don't know, that just seems so ridiculous to me that, like, the people that are saving your lives are learning from a book for dummies about that, you know?
That's
saving.
It's like neural surgery for dummies.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
no.
Penis cyst removal for dummies. That's what, and I'm
ovary
like.
Ovary removal
these are,
for dummies.
Yeah, this is fucked up, dude.
Not
now.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to pulse.
They like
to get
knock
fixed.
You out. They whip out the book. Okay, see page 44, step 6. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it just...
Are there illustrations in this? I don't know what to do here. That sucks.
Yeah, it totally creeped me out. I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't live here because I could totally picture like getting in a fucking car wreck. And the guy, they, like, get on the scene, and they whip out their books, and they're like, let's see, for a car wreck, turn to page 54. And they're like, page 54. And they're all, like, thumbing through it while I'm bleeding out. Yeah, that would totally fucking suck. All right, well, that will probably about do it for us.
Yeah,
episode
my voice is about had it. It's 252. Coming and going.
Thank you guys for joining us. As usual, email us info at thejamhole.com, or you can leave us a message, 406-204-4687. Thejamhole.com is where all our shit's at. Tomorrow, I will be working on thejamhole.com/pics, getting all of the pictures from the 250th show that people took. I got Johnny's pictures, which came out awesome. You take some sweet pictures, dude.
Hell yeah.
MDS's pictures, awesome. Burger's pictures, totally awesome. So I'll be working on getting those up to the site and everything.
And I would like to be resizing and posting them on my MySpace.
Of course, and I'm sure you can keep an eye out for other people posting them, because there were, you know, a few people there
Ashley
with cameras.
Put up a few. Right. Sarah Rochelle.
And I got the torrents all made. I started sending McNally all of the info, all the stuff for the 250th show. It's like 28 gigs, including the audio and everything else. So it's going to take a few days just to get there. And then, you know, once it gets there, he'll have fun going through all that shit. But again, thank you so much, McNally. You are the fucking man for
love
doing
you,
this
McNally.
For us. KeithCourage.com, that's where all his shit's at. Shazam, all her shit's at randomrimjobs.com. And then, of course, I'll throw all the stuff for Zoe. Huh?
Zoe.
With an E.
Zoe with an E.
Z-O-E. Zoe Vet and the Revolvers. I'll put all the links to that on the show notes at thejamhole.com probably tomorrow sometime.
So you're going to plug that song at the end of the show?
I'll put it at the end of the podcast. The live listeners heard a couple of their songs for the pre-show. But yeah, I'll close out the show with a track from her thing they're doing stuff. Right.
Okay.
Fantastic. For the Jam Hole, I'm Matt, and this is Danny, and Danny. We will holla at you on Friday. Later.
Bye.
You are listening to the Jam Hole. The Jam Hole. Jamhole.com.